When you want the best bits of the Pete and Kimber show, you come here to the podcast. And when you want to spoil mum for Mother's Day, you go to Chemist Warehouse. Shop the huge range of fragrances at the lowest prices. Sale ends May 12. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hi. I was about to do like the off-air business before we went to air.
What's that?
Well, I was going to say, is there anything you want to talk about at the top of our podcast? Anything, you know, from the weekend?
Just
or...
a bit chatty-watty?
Yeah?
No, I don't really have all that much. Not really anything that's interesting, you know? Like, if there was anything off the back of the weekend that I noticed, it was just that it seemed like everybody was going to the tip. But that's not really interesting. Like, that's boring, you know what I mean?
I had this chat with a friend, though. So my friend's got a rural property.
Yeah.
Right? And he's got a bunch of junk on the property. And he was saying he's just going to hire a digger and dig a massive hole and just put all the junk in the hole.
What kind of junk, though? What's the junk?
Cover it up.
What is it?
Oh, everything from like plastic. And he said there's like pieces of metal and plastic and just like as if a hoarder has moved into this place.
Yeah.
And then left everything.
Mm.
You know, like there's
no,
just.
Take it to the tip.
Yeah,
don't stick that in the ground.
What do you think the tip does?
Yeah, but at least it's all in the one area,
right?
You know, and they're going to sort it.
I could not argue with him over this because I was like, okay, let's talk about this. You'd have to hire a truck.
Mm.
You'd have to pick it all up, do the manual labor of getting it in the truck. You have to take it to the tip to dump it. You have to pay per kilo to dump it.
Do you?
We have to pay at the tip. Yeah, you can't just take 15, you know, trailers worth of stuff. It costs you.
I suppose it's not 15 trailers worth of stuff, but I took a lot of gear over the weekend.
Yeah, you have to pay for it, though.
Yeah, but I got tip passes.
Yeah, but I mean, there's only so many tip passes you get, and I think that it's still based on how much you dump, right?
I don't know.
I had a friend who worked for a kitchen renovation company, and they had to pay for each dump load or like the weight that they were dumping.
If they're running a kitchen renovation though, they're dumping a lot of shit.
Right.
Like they're dumping lots. Like I'm dumping like once every few months. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, so my friend with this, I was like, well, the theory is if you're just going to dig it in your own property and you're just going to put it underground, that sounds like a terrible idea, but that's what's happening if you take it to the tip, but just with more expenses.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, you feel bad about dumping it, but at the same time, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're living on the property, and it's your property.
No one's
really.
Who gives a shit?
Really? Like,
doesn't that seem something about it feels really wrong?
It feels ick.
But
it's,
also, like, that's what's happening when you take it to the tip. Until they run out of tip space, they cover it all over, and then they open another tip.
Yeah. How many tips we got? One, two. So we got Armadale. We got Canning Vale.
Well, a lot would have been shut down by now, right? Because they would have filled them and moved.
Yeah. There's probably a tip for every jurisdiction, right? Like every major sort of city council.
Did you say diction?
Yes. I said jurisdiction.
That's what it sounded like you'd said.
Jurisdiction.
Turns out there is tip talk. Anyway. in the podcast, some interesting stuff in the podcast today because we spoke to Rabia Sadiq. And Rabia Sadiq is a humanitarian, human and civil rights lawyer.
Yeah.
She has an incredible background. Like, she's been taken hostage in Iraq.
I want to talk to her about that story.
Well, they won't let her talk about it.
Why? Who's they?
What's quite famous is that she was told by the British government not to discuss with anybody how she was taken hostage.
Why?
Because they felt that it was going to expose some security or safety risks nationally. It was going to be a problem.
And but so we all know.
They told her she's never allowed to talk about it. And then she suffered terrible post-traumatic stress disorder from not being able to talk about her experiences.
Right.
And now she rallies for other people, human rights activists. And she was speaking here in Perth at our rallies for the domestic violence and trying to make national change.
Mm.
And she's amazing. I think it was a really interesting chat with her, and that is on this podcast.
You're going to get an update off the back of this Netflix show, Baby Reindeer, because everybody's been going after trying to internet sleuth their way to the actual identity of who Martha is.
Yeah, the
show.
Stalker.
Yeah.
And she's now being stalked by all these internet trolls.
Yeah.
Amazing. We played Yay or Nay, and Nicole Kidman's Coming For Me, I think, is what this ends with.
Well, you started it.
I mean,
you started it because her and Keith aren't just sitting around a table at home going, hey, what do you think about Kimber Cahill?
No, you're right.
They're not.
They're not judgy like me.
They're not.
I was very judgy.
Dear Kimber, can I tell my partner to lose weight?
That was a great, a mixed listener who just wanted to know whether or not he can tell his partner that he's finding her a bit less attractive.
Yeah.
We got some good calls.
Yeah.
I think people gave good advice.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep. And real or fake headline.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that, didn't you, Kerrod? Hey, real or fake headline?
Yeah, I'm here. I did.
Thanks for coming. See, they just interchange. Rami and Kerrod just come in as they feel.
Just appeared.
And also, if you are looking for Secret Lives of Perth and you want to hear the story of the woman who had to kick out her disgraceful, absolutely disgusting cheating husband, kicked him out of her home and told all of her friends and family, what a douchebag, this guy's cheating on me. And everyone was like, oh, God, massive douche. And she was sleeping with someone else the entire time.
Yeah.
She was cheating on him.
Yep. It's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. You just wait till you hear the way she tells the story.
It's got its own podcast. Go and listen.
All right. Here you go. Have this one. Bye.
Later.
Pete and Kimber.
A bit of massive update on this huge Netflix show, Baby Reindeer.
It's now had more than 52 million views on Netflix, Baby Reindeer, that everyone's talking about. It's created and performed by a man named Richard Gadd, and it's his real-life stalking experience. So the guy's a comedian, and he was basically followed by this woman and stalked for 4 years, and he turned it into a one-man show, and now it's been turned into this Netflix show, and it's going gangbusters. So everybody in it, he has changed some of the details because he wanted to protect the original character who in the show is called Martha. Mm. And he's like, I didn't want people to know who Martha was. She's now gone on in her own life. He doesn't have anything to do with her anymore, that she's stopped stalking him. He just wanted to share the story. But you can't stop the internet.
No, of course not.
So
the sleuths are out there.
Well, it began with people searching for old comedy footage of Richard Gadd's, and they could hear this woman laughing in the background, which is one of the iconic parts of her character in the show. So people started tracking down old gigs, starting to look for footage, and people have found out who she is. Oh, and they've tracked down this Scottish woman that they believe is the real-life Martha, and people have been sending her death threats.
So they believe? It's not confirmed yet?
Well, here's the thing. She came out and did an interview with The Telegraph and said, look, I don't know what they're talking about. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. Don't know what you're saying, right? However, then went on to say, I'm the victim here. I've got all of these death threats as a result of the show. And people have claimed these things that are not true. And then she went on to say she's seen various things about him, but she said, I was in his company. So suddenly...
Hang on a sec.
Yeah. So she says, I didn't stalk him. This guy has put huge intrusions into my privacy and I haven't seen him for 12 years and I can't believe this is all coming up in my life. This has nothing to do with me, but also has a lot of details about how they've spent time together. She said she knew that he was writing the show. She'd heard about it when he wrote it in the festival 4 or 5 years ago.
So hang on, she knows way too much.
She knows way too much.
She knows way too much for someone who it's not me.
But also, you know, Richard Gadd, he's actually come out and said, hey everyone, look, people that I love, have worked with and admire are unfairly getting caught up in the speculation around this show. Please don't speculate on who any of the real life people could be. That's not the point of our show.
Has he ever spoken to the internet before? Please don't speculate on who any of these... This is what we do.
I know.
This is immediately what you do when you watch a Netflix show. I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting there watching a Netflix show with Liz, we're Googling everything about that Netflix show while we're watching it.
I think it's going to be very hard for her to keep her identity safe. But he is saying, please don't attack this woman if you think you know who she is. Please don't make this worse. Mm. He just wanted to share his story. And now it's captured people.
If you haven't seen this show yet, by the way, get on it. I mean, it's chilling. There are goosebumps-worthy scenes in this. I mean, here's some audio here. This is Martha, the stalker, crashing one of his gigs.
Now let's do some prop stuff. All right.
Especially for you. I want to let you know what I was going through.
Thanks for that. Moving on.
I miss you.
I miss you too, random stranger.
I'm not a random stranger. I'm your ex. Don't be so cruel. Who's that girl you were talking about just then?
Okay, just to give you some context, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martha. My stalker. Say hello to Mark.
Don't you dare say that to me! I'm a paying customer! How dare you insinuate mixed intentions! You apologise to me right now!
She sounds very Scottish, doesn't she? Just throwing it out there. You no doubt would have seen the pictures and the video from right across Australia over the weekend of the domestic violence rallies, including right here in Perth.
We stand here today because enough is enough.
We need more men standing up and being actively involved, as this is a male problem, not a female problem.
One of the speakers who was at the rally is Rabia Sadiq, who joins us on the show now. Good morning to you, Rabia. Thanks for your time.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
It's so wonderful to have someone like yourself speaking at these rallies. Your experience with humanitarian law and your own experience in Iraq being a hostage and also with experiencing domestic violence yourself. This is one of these things where it was wonderful to see so many people out at the rally, and yet at the same time, it's just horrible that so many people need to be there. Can I ask you, Rabia, how do you deal with this feeling of helplessness that so many of us wake up with, that so many women wake up every day, this heavy, overbearing feeling of like, we're still having this conversation just trying to stop women being murdered in 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you said it so well. It was incredible being there yesterday, and I know for me, stepping onto the stage just before I started speaking, seeing the sea of people, you know, girls and boys, women and men, families, people of all ages, it was incredibly powerful, and it was also incredibly sad to think that we all had to gather for this, but there was, you know, so much unity. I'm not sure whether helplessness is something that I feel. I think what I have been feeling increasingly is anger and probably rage and complete confusion in terms of, you know, what is going on? Why are women, more than two women, dying a week? Why isn't this absolutely top of the agenda? And why are we doing nothing in terms of, you know, real multi-sector action to address this? So I guess, you know, speaking for other women, there would have been deep helplessness. I've always approached life believing that we all have the capacity to create positive change, but what we need is strong leadership, strong direction, and a way to come together to embrace that capacity. And I think that's what yesterday was all about. And I had this very overwhelming feeling that, you know, in the cries of enough is enough and no more, given that, you know, people were uniting all around the country, I think this is going to be the beginning of something that will be real, will be profound, and hopefully will be sustainable, not just in terms of addressing domestic violence, but also in terms of what we can do to prevent it in the first place, which is a complex issue, of course.
Mm. Rabia, one of the things that came out of yesterday was that the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese appeared at one of the national rallies, and then he's since then announced an emergency meeting of the premiers from around the country to convene national cabinet to talk about this, which he describes as a pandemic. What at that roundtable discussion of premiers and the Prime Minister, what is the first thing that they should be tackling in terms of solving this issue?
Well, what I'm hoping is around that table, you don't just have the Prime Minister and the Premiers, but you have people there that have lived experience and professional experience that can be advising them, that can be giving them suggestions that are innovative, that are out of the box, so that they're not constrained by, you know, the old thinking that hasn't really got us anywhere. I think the first problem that they need to be tackling is at the reactionary end, which is the justice system. One of the things that I highlighted yesterday that hasn't really been spoken or written about a lot is that we are, from my knowledge, the only or one of the only jurisdictions in the world where the prosecution of violent offences against women that mainly occurs in the magistrate's court are prosecuted by mainly non-legally qualified police officers who invariably come up against very experienced and often senior legal counsel. So what you have is a situation where there's an absolute inequality of arms from the outset when it comes to the prosecution process. you know, police officers are outmaneuvered, outsmarted, outmanipulated from the very beginning, which of course has devastating impacts on justice and re-traumatizes victim survivors. You know, you have a situation where innocence until proven guilty, which is absolutely something that I have dedicated my life to as a humanitarian lawyer, but you also have a situation where victim survivors are attacked. So the accused is on trial, but victims are attacked.
We are talking to...
Sorry,
go on.
I was going to say, so I think the first thing they need to look at and discuss seriously is legislative reform and diverting resources away from police prosecutions to Director of Public Prosecution prosecutions. So lawyers are meeting with lawyers at the first stage of prosecution. That's the first thing. And, of course, there's many things after that.
We are talking with Rabia Sadiq, the criminal and human rights lawyer. Rabia, I do hope that, as you say, that this is the start of more change. We've talked about this for years and years and years. And you know, I've said to many prime ministers when they've come in here that I said, you know, we've now got 27 dead women on our hands this year so far, which is nearly double what we had this time last year. And it's been happening every year before that. And I've said many times, if this was 27 kids that had been killed this year, this would be a national emergency and someone would be doing something about it. And something happens between little girls, when they're little girls, everyone wants to protect them, and they reach an age where suddenly women don't matter anymore and now they're at risk. And I don't know what's happening, but I do hope that you're right in that this is going to make something change in our legal system and the way that the government are handling it.
You're so right, Kimber. That's just so beautifully said. Something is happening. If it was 27 women, if it was 27 men, we would be all gasping and there would have been emergency meetings years ago to tackle this. And resources dedicated to this, you know, in every sector. So hopefully after this weekend, the government leaders, not just in government, but in commerce, in not-for-profit, in community, all the sectors have heard. They've heard Australian women and men and children speaking. We're saying no more. We're saying it's time to act. We're saying it's time to look at this differently and maybe even in a way that is radical. And I hope that they've heard our cry.
Rabia, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you all.
Rabia Sadiq there, who was one of the speakers at the Perth DV rally and represented the domestic violence rallies across the country. We're all involved in this.
We are
absolutely 100% all involved in this every single minute of every single day with every interaction that we have.
It's affecting everybody. And I think everybody wants to see change, you know, just on a daily level of men who feel like they are being victimized because they are being put into a category of not being safe. And like they want that to change. Women want to not feel that they're at risk everywhere they go. And especially not by the people who pretend that they love you.
Yeah.
Nobody should feel this unsafe in their homes.
Wednesday is the big day. National Cabinet convenes and hopefully, fingers crossed, they actually get together and come off the back of that with some things that they're actually going to do to change what's going on at the moment. And of course, if this is bringing up issues for yourself, you can dial 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732 if you or anyone needs to speak to someone.
Dear Kimber.
So we get emails and we get text messages and all sorts of things sent into the station with a Dear Kimber, people asking questions that we can throw out to Mix Fam. You've got to help us out here.
Yeah, it's just to get some advice. And I throw it out to you guys because I think that's the best option to get a bit of a cross-section of what people would think. And today I'm going to be breaking up relationships all over the place.
Fantastic. That's
Dear Kimber. My partner has been slowly gaining weight. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
You just know.
It's a trap.
It bothers me a lot, but I love every other aspect of her.
Oh, good deflection. I've used that one.
Oh, she is so great if she wasn't so festively plump. Am I right?
That's okay. Just more to love.
My partner and I have been dating for about 6 years. She's one of the few people I've ever met who ticks a lot of boxes for me. However, we share different viewpoints with our food consumption. She is not obese, but she's put on a bit of weight, particularly over the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a high metabolism like me, and she is the type to believe she's naturally a bigger girl. She loves to eat food and eat out. A lot of sugar intake.
Mm-hmm.
James, are you writing this? Is this from James?
This is from
I think
your
this might
partner.
Be from my partner. She has noticed her weight gain slightly and has been examining her belly in front of a mirror more and realizing her belly's made her self-conscious, but it makes me uncomfortable because she asks if I think she's fat and I say no because I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I feel soon I need to say something.
Mm.
The fact I see how many sweets she eats makes me think she could cut her diet and it would make her slim. I'm very lean myself. I also eat extremely clean and I work out a lot, so I am not one preaching something that I'm not doing myself.
Mm.
It's the kitchen and the food that is her downfall. I love her, and the last thing I want to do is hurt her feelings. Can I tell her she needs to watch her weight? Dun, dun, dun. Love from James. Well, honey, thanks for writing in.
So can he or not?
Do you know what?
How would you feel about it?
I get why this is a difficult conversation, but I think it's about the angle that you're coming from. There's quite a big difference between people who are unhealthy and people who are overweight.
Yeah.
They're not always the same thing.
How many metres you'd roll down a hill if you were pushed?
I mean, let's just say, you know, you've told me that there are people who are out there running marathons that look like they couldn't make it up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I might be skinny fat, you know? So yeah. I think there's a different thing going on for everyone.
I feel like you're talking around it like I've done many times in my household. You're deflecting.
No, because if you've got
question.
I think if you've got a partner, then you have to go through some of life's toughest stuff together.
Yeah.
And these are the people who you hope will be wiping your butt when you are old and can't take care of yourself.
You hear that, kids? That's what you've got to look forward
That's
to.
That's what getting a partner and locking in is, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to deal with some stuff you don't want to deal with. So if you can't have difficult conversations, you've already got a problem.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you there.
Right? Difficult conversation, but being able to sit down with a person and say, hey, this is affecting the way I feel towards you. This is affecting my attractiveness. This is affecting the way you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
I think is a difficult but valid conversation.
Yeah, but that's hard to hear on the other side when you start throwing in things like I'm struggling to be attracted to you because you're gaining weight.
But if you don't have that conversation, then you end up, they either just throw in inappropriate digs because they can't help themselves saying something and then you feel bad about yourself, or they just stop being attracted to you and the relationship ends.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes you have to have difficult conversations. It's just a conversation. It could go pear-shaped. Her feelings might be hurt. It's about the way you deliver it. Just saying, I'm naturally slim and I'm a guy with a great metabolism is probably not the way to go about it.
He didn't say. He's working at it. He's done a couple of runs and stuff like that.
Well, he does say that he's fit and takes care of himself, but he does also say, I've got a high metabolism and I'm naturally slim.
Maybe. Asking your partner to lose weight. Can you do it or can you not do it?
Angela in Ellenbrook, can he say, hey, you've gotten a little festively plump?
Well, look, it's a touchy subject, but the fact that she's giving him an opening to answer the question, I think he's got a bit of a leeway there. So if she says, look, do you think I'm getting fat? Then he could turn around and be like, why? Do you think you are?
With a question. I like it.
It's a funny question to ask anyway, isn't it? Because she would know. There's no time I've ever gained weight and thought, oh, what a total surprise. I'm surprised you noticed before I did.
Yeah.
Angela, what were you going to say? You're going to say something else there for a moment.
Oh, I just think, females like to talk naturally. So you'll probably find that if he says, what do you think you are? She might be like, oh, yeah, I think I've been eating a bit more or blah, blah, blah. And then he could subtly say, yeah, I have noticed you have been eating a bit more. Because she's kind of, then he's not in the shit, you know?
Because he's just answering the question. I don't know. Alan in Caversham, how would this go down with you and your wife?
Look, to be honest with you, there's a good point she just made there. But my wife, she had weight from pregnancy as well, after pregnancy. But it took a little while, you know, for her to kick in to realise. And she got actually really big. And I'm a big guy myself, but I'm not amazingly fit. I did snack with her here and there, but I kind of left it up to her, until it gets to that real bad point. But I left it up to her, and she actually got to a point where she flipped the switch And, you know, now she's running a marathon next month.
Nice. But it wasn't worrying you, Alan. You were kind of like, you know, you still find her attractive and it's not an issue.
Oh, like, look, honestly, it was an issue for me. It was an issue for me. But I thought to myself, what would make her even more attractive for me was if she was able to flick that switch in her brain and you know, motivate herself. And now she's fitter than me. She's looking better than me. I'm the one snacking now. So.
Oh, geez, Alan, be careful.
Now she's motivated me.
Alan, do you want to go and eat your feelings, Alan?
Be careful, mate. We could be having an entirely different conversation in a couple of weeks.
Carolyn, you think there's a good way to tell your partner that they've gained weight?
Hello. Yeah, I think there is a good way. I think it could be done far more constructively and caringly.
Like with a cake?
No, it's from the perspective of I love you, I care about you, and I'm worried about your health in the future. You know, look around you, look at the high percentage of Australians that, like you, have gained weight, and look at the increased risk of diabetes, heart disease, cancer, you name it, from being, you know, from gradually gaining weight. What can I do to help you turn this around? Shall we exercise together? Shall we take a walk or a cycle for 30 minutes a day? Can I cook you a meal a couple of times a week? And let's play around with food and find ways that we can pack in a bit more protein, and believe it or not, a bit more fat and less carb, because that's actually the answer, and that's what CSIRO found too.
I mean,
and
look,
that's a lifestyle change, not a diet that you go on and then you go off it and then you gain the weight again.
I think a lot of valid points there, Caroline, although I am reflecting on an ex-boyfriend who had this idea with me and was like, let's go train together at Lake Munger and take weights down there and do some training. And like, once I'd exercised in front of him, then I was too embarrassed to ever be intimate with him again.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Hello, producer Rami.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Got yay and nay here for you. A couple of topics and give me your thoughts on them. Are we ready?
Yeah.
First one, Nicole Kidman is overrated.
3, 2, 1.
Nay.
Nay. Can we just say Nicole Kidman and then I can say yay or nay?
Okay.
Mate, honestly, just remember, right?
Do we have to keep giving Rami notes off air?
Well, you do.
Because when you say Nicole Kidman's overrated, I don't know whether to say yay or nay.
Well, nay if you disagree or yay if you agree.
But agree that she's overrated. Okay, then
start
yay.
Start again. Nicole Kidman.
3, 2, 1.
Nay.
Oh, okay. So nay.
Why?
She's bland.
She's bland?
She's bland.
Wow, tell us.
She's well overrated. She's bland. I don't know what. She's never done anything that I've gone, wow, you're outstanding. She's in the Hugh Jackman category. Incredibly famous, but haven't really wowed us with anything.
Don't you dare say that about my Hughesy. Don't you dare.
Where has he wowed you?
He's wowed me. He's played Wolverine for the last 20 years.
How's his acting wowed you?
His acting's fantastic. His acting is amazing. Have you seen him in Swordfish in the scene where he's sitting down trying to hack through the computer?
Have you seen Australia?
No one's seen that.
I've seen Australia.
Anyway,
Nicole Kidman was amazing in Stepford Wives, but I feel like anyone could do that role.
And Moulin Rouge, maybe? And then after that, I kind of just...
Was she in Moulin Rouge?
Yeah.
Oh. Shut up. Look, others maybe think otherwise because she's made Australian history this morning by becoming the first Aussie to receive the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award in LA. So,
which is amazing.
Along
news
with
for
George Clooney,
who
Jane Fonda.
Is born in Hawaii.
was she born in Hawaii?
Yep.
Yeah, she was.
Was she?
She's Australian. She's so Australian. She's off the Hawaii, the little island off the coast of Australia.
Huh.
This was just an excuse for me to play you a bit of audio here. I caught up with Nicole Kidman a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Early on in my career.
You
I was living
and
in
Nicole Kidman.
Melbourne. I was living in Melbourne and I got sent off to this gala. It was for the Grand Prix of all things. And I don't know anything about cars, but I know Nicole Kidman. This is early in my career. Keep in mind, the audio is a bit shoddy, but it's me asking her a couple of questions centered around cars. Let's have a listen.
Okay.
Nicole, we're here for the Grand Prix, of course.
Yeah.
What kind of car do you drive back home?
What kind of car do I drive? Range Rover.
To be honest, Everest.
I'm so boring.
Everest is being fine.
Never. No, I'm very obedient.
And there's rumours you're coming back to Australia to live permanently. What would you say to that?
No, we live in Nashville because of my husband's career.
Thank you.
Career. Maybe one day, we'd love to. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take it back, Nay.
Did you record that on your Nokia 3310? Amazing.
I think she was really annoyed when I asked if she got any speeding fines. So there we go.
Oh, did you? Didn't hear that.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
I love your rapid fire questioning, though.
I was very nervous. Hey, second one. Driving in the right side lane.
3, 2, 1.
Hang on.
Yay. Unless you're doing under the speed limit and then get out. What are you doing here? You don't belong.
So you know about this?
What do you mean know about this?
I didn't know it was illegal.
What do you mean?
Is it illegal though? Or is it one of those where it's meant
not.
To be illegal, but
it's not.
I don't think it's illegal.
It's only, you're meant to stay, it's a suggestion. Over 80 kilometres, you're meant to stay left.
Yeah, it's a suggestion. Like
so
don't
on
steal.
Freeways and things like that. If it's an over 80 kilometre zone, you're meant to stay in the left-hand lane.
I recently got fined.
Did you?
For staying in the right lane.
I am thrilled to hear that cops are getting people for that. Oh. Fantastic.
Cop that.
What? When did they nab you? They just pulled you over because you were sitting in the right-hand lane?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's okay.
Were you doing under the limit?
Yeah, I think so.
What was your place there?
Why were you there? On the freeway. Why was I there?
Why were you in the right-hand lane if you weren't doing 100?
Because I like being in the right-hand lane sometimes.
How dare you?
Wow. Be honest.
I'm off Kimber this morning. She hates Nicole Kidman and my
Mate, there's not a person driving right now that thinks it's okay to sit in the right-hand lane if you're not doing the speed limit. It's unreasonable and you have no place.
Are you like, do you want a hug?
Yes.
Come over here, I'll give you a hug.
That's what I said about Nicole.
Come over here, I'll give you a hug.
She's just jealous of my interview.
This is not a Perthy kind of thing. This is a Kerry, the producers in the studio with a new game for us kind of thing.
I feel like I would have to speak like, oh, hello. This kind of music. I feel like I'd have to have a very soft, like French voice to try and match this music.
It's Russian.
You say is French. It? I thought you were going with Antonio Banderas.
There's that as well. I mean, it didn't really work out for me. But hey, I am here because I've got a fun game for you guys.
Yay!
Now, we've done real or fake before. This is, we've done it for Glastonbury and for Splendor in the Grass. So what happened was I bought you a whole bunch of band names and you had to decipher whether they were real or fake for Glastonbury and for Splendor in the Grass. Mm-hmm. This time, though, I'm doing something different. So last week we spotted an article and there's been a lot of hype about Harley Reid, West Coast's Harley Reid, AFL player. There was an article that popped up on Perth Now that said, Harley Reid reveals his number one Perth grocer.
Oh, like just his number one place to shop.
Yes, where he goes to get his
But there's more on it. Now, it was it was Herdsman, wasn't it? It was the Herdy.
No, I didn't actually.
You clicked on the article.
Yes,
you read the article. See, you're part of the problem.
No.
Why would you click on that?
There's something more going on there because it's got a bit to do with who's the other West Coast Eagles player who did the rug shop?
I saw a video of it. I can't remember.
Liam Ryan.
Yeah.
Right? Did a rug shop advert where it was terrible, but it went viral.
Mm.
Right? And then I'm sure this has got to do with the Harley Reid thing. I think Luke Jackson's just done one from the Fremantle Dockers for one of the Toyota places. It's a thing. That's why I clicked on it. I was interested to see it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was interested through that entire thing. It was enthralling.
Yeah, wow.
The rug guy. Did you hear?
That was really good. what I've done is I've compiled three article titles, like three headlines of articles, and I want you to tell me which one is real and which one is fake. Two of them are real and one of them is fake.
Okay.
So see if you can spot the fake article.
Two are real, one's fake.
So the first one is one that I gave you a couple of minutes ago. Dog eats owner's passport, putting couple's Italy wedding in jeopardy.
Real.
Okay.
Is that because you've had time to Google it during the song?
No, it's not.
Do we get to hear all three?
I'll give you all three, and then I'll let you decipher which one is the real article title. Number two, man hit with insane $52 billion tax bill.
Wow. Okay.
And article number three, UK politician accused of using ChatGPT to write Parliament speech. You can ask questions.
But it's two reals and a fake.
So two of them are real, one of them is fake.
Now, the billion-dollar one mm-hmm. I know is real because I saw that pop up, right? It's the Polly one for me.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely something that could happen.
Mm.
I think it's fake.
You think the Polly one's
yeah.
fake? I reckon the Polly one's real, and it's made me question the dog one. I reckon the dog one's fake.
I think that politicians would absolutely use AI and ChatGPT to write their speeches. I just don't think they'd call it a speech in the headline of the article.
Yeah, okay.
Gee, that's really interesting.
I was going to say,
that's
wow.
very interesting what, sleuthing by
what other What other word could they use?
I don't know. It depends. You're the one who made it up.
Well, sorry, Kimber. Sorry, Kimber. What other word could I have used?
Is it correct?
I'm going to go with fake, real, real.
So you're going fake for the dog passport?
Fake for the dog passport. Nah, fake for the dog passport.
Yeah.
Real for the $52 billion tax bill and real for the UK poly because they're stupid.
And Kimber, you're going with the politician one as the fake article.
Yes.
Well, I can reveal that man hit with $52 billion in insane $52 billion tax bill is an actual article.
Yes. So,
man in Pennsylvania. It was a mistake.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, that's good to hear.
No, it's a real, like real anti-climatic ending, wasn't it?
Well, no, because the fake article was the UK politician accused of using ChatGPT to write parliament speech.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kimber's got a good nose for this.
The word speech.
Yeah. How's that guy with the rug shop? What's happening there?
I don't know. I'll check back in with him and report to you on my findings tomorrow on the show. Don't
Stop
miss it.
Stop clicking on those articles.
Unmissable radio.
It is
right
unmissable.
Here.
Wow.
The Pete and Kimber Show.
Chemist Warehouse, here to help you spoil mum this Mother's Day. Find big brand fragrances at the lowest prices.